What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great break from WVU basketball. That's nice. They needed a rest. We needed a rest after an 0-2 performance in Charleston. Wild to not see WVU play in a Thanksgiving tournament. Did it the week before. And so you get back to a bye game against the Mercyhurst Lakers in their second season as a Division I program. West Virginia played Mercyhurst last year in the last game before Big 12 play. Kind of ho-hum that one. West Virginia this year against Mercyhurst, I would say they did what they were supposed to do. Mercyhurst, with love and respect, is not good at basketball. Their coach does look like Zach Lowe. And that was not Zach Lowe, but every time I saw the camera look at the Mercyhurst coach, I thought that guy knows basketball because he looked like Zach Lowe. But Mercyhurst is not good at basketball. They play in the Northeast Conference, which strength-wise is, according to Ken Pomeroy's computer, 30th out of 31 Division I conferences. Mercyhurst is 328th in Ken Pomeroy's computer out of 365 teams. And to give you a feel for how that compares, like the Northeast Conference and the Big 12, let's say we were comparing those conferences. WVU in the Ken Pomeroy computer after that win is, and they beat Mercyhurst, by the way. West Virginia is currently 69th in Ken Pomeroy's computer. And that's good for 13th out of 16 Big 12 teams. So 69th out of 365, but 13th out of 16. Mercyhurst, again, 328th in Division I, according to Ken Pomeroy's computer. That'll get you 5th in the 10-team Northeast Conference League. That's 328th for the Northeast. That's middle of the pack. So when you play a team like Mercyhurst in a middle-of-the-road Northeast Conference team, you have to beat them by a big margin. And West Virginia did that. Happy to report, they won 70-38. So win big, check. Did West Virginia finish the game with no injuries? Check. Did any WVU player have to play over 30 minutes? They did not. Check. And really, like, what else do you get from a game like that other than the three big check marks you want in a game against a bad team, love and respect, is those are the things. And outside of that, I don't know, how do you analyze when the 69th team plays the 328th team and wins big? I don't know what to do with that. no Mercyhurst player was taller than 6'6". And West Virginia had a size advantage. They had so many advantages today. They were at home. They had better talent, better size, better a lot. Ross Hodge does not look like Zach Lowe. Ross Hodge looks like Ross Hodge. And so West Virginia holds Mercyhurst to under 40 points, but they're Mercyhurst. Only 16 second half points from Mercyhurst, but they're Mercyhurst. Mercyhurst does have Bernie Blunt, which is a top tier name. And Bernie Blunt had a little streak in the first half, and he was the only guy to score in double figures for Mercyhurst. But West Virginia only had two guys to get in double figures. I don't know. I don't know what to do with any of that. I mean, Jackson Fields played his first game, so that's cool. We all got to see that. First game in a Mountaineer uniform. He played 11 minutes. Obviously took minutes from DJ Thomas. Jackson Fields got a couple offensive rebounds. Went 3 of 4 from the free throw line. But he was good in limited play. But he was good against Mercyhurst. With love and respect to Mercyhurst. Amir Jenkins, another solid game. 3 assists, no turnovers. Gaining more confidence all the time. That's great. He's doing it against Mercyhurst. Eagle staff, 2 solid offensive performances together in a row. Aggressive, getting to the basket. He did it against Mercyhurst. Chance Moore scored points in this game. Chance Moore likes to dribble the ball with his left hand on either side of the court, and he's a fill-in-the-blank, bowling ball, wrecking ball, bull. He decides he wants to get to the rim, and then he aggressively gets to the rim. It's like, I'm doing this. I don't care what you have in mind. I'm going to dribble the ball with my left hand, and I'm going to be near the rim really soon, and I don't think you can do anything about it. I love that. Chance Moore, with a bullet, he's only played, this was his third game as a Mountaineer, my favorite player to watch on the court, because it's extremely aggressive. It's one move, which is left-hand dribble to the basket. It's very fun to watch. I mean, he put his shoulder down against a Laker and sent him off the court. I believe the contact happened right above the foul line. And that guy went flying. And it's because Chance Moore. As much as I enjoy watching Chance Moore dribble with his left hand and aggressively get to the rim, he did it today against Mercyhurst. And I'm saying it with all the love and respect for the Mercyhurst Lakers. I believe Ross Hodge, he didn't give him a ton of credit, but he did respect them. And I respect Mercyhurst, and I wish them a good season. They are not good at basketball in comparison to any Power 5 team. And I've heard some people say, I'm not the only one that talks into a microphone about WVU basketball. Other people do. I'm not going to name names, but I've heard from multiple people that speak into a microphone that WVU has a sneaky good non-conference schedule. Like an under-the-radar schedule. And my response to that is it's super sneaky. Because above board, and I just have Ken Pomeroy's computer. I love and respect to Ken Pomeroy. I use his computer rankings a ton in trying to understand a little bit more about basketball. And Ken Pomeroy's computer has West Virginia with the 323rd toughest strength of schedule. And with 5 non-conference games remaining, Two of those are going to be played against teams that are the worst, 365th in Division I basketball, and the second worst, 364th currently in Division I basketball. Only Cincinnati has played an easier non-conference schedule so far out of the Big 12 teams. And I'm guessing that West Virginia is going to jump Cincinnati. When it's all said and done, WVU will have played the easiest non-conference schedule out of the Big 12 teams. So that's what the computer says. And does the computer factor in a radar? And if you're on it or under it, is there a sneak rating that I'm unaware of? I don't know these things. Maybe there's other places you can look to kind of quantify that sneaky good non-conference schedule. But not having that, I'd say, and this is going to sound hyperbolic, West Virginia's non-conference schedule could be the most sneaky good non-conference schedule of all time by any team. Because I don't see it. As of right now, and I just have computers to look at, it doesn't seem like West Virginia's non-conference schedule is that sneaky good. It just looks like it's easy, and that's fine. Is having an easy non-conference schedule a bad thing for a first-year coach and a whole new roster? Not necessarily. You get a chance to gel, you get wins, you get to try different things, different combinations that you can't try when you're playing better competition. So it's not necessarily bad. And you guess what? You can be really good at basketball and play an easy non-conference schedule. Both can be true. Just looking at last year, 9 teams that didn't get an automatic invite to the NCAA tournament, at-large teams, 9 teams had a non-conference schedule in the 300s, according to Ken Pomeroy's computer. So it's not exclusive. And guess what? You could be bad at basketball and play the toughest strength of schedule. It's just one metric in how you're figuring out how good your team is. You've got to factor it in. Now, does an easy non-conference schedule do you any favors if perhaps you're fighting for an at-large NCAA tournament bid? It does not. It doesn't do you any favors unless there's one exception to the rule, and it's if you're in the Southeastern Conference. If you're an SEC team, then not necessarily it does you favors, but it doesn't hurt you.
The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I'm looking at my computer at Uncommon Goods. You type in West Virginia University. They got cool stuff, WVU themed. I've got the can-shaped glasses. They're my favorite glasses to drink out of. They got a College Town wall sculpture, a stadium lights end table, super cool stuff, unique, one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
How do I know this? Well, one of those nine teams that had a non-conference schedule in the 300s that made the NCAA tournament was the Texas Longhorns. And so Texas obviously killed it in their conference schedule, right? If they had a weak non-conference schedule. Well, guess what? Texas went 6-12 in conference play. Six wins, 12 losses. So easy non-conference schedule, losing record in conference, and that team made the NCAA tournament. So there's always exceptions to the rules. Am I still mad about how things went down last season? You betcha. It's ridiculous. But you know what? Maybe it's ridiculous, and maybe there's something I haven't factored in. Maybe the Texas Longhorns had a sneaky good non-conference schedule last season. Because similar to WVU, the computer said easy. But maybe under the radar, sneaky good non-conference schedule? I don't know. And if so, it could have been as sneaky or possibly in the conversation with WVU this season as the most sneaky good non-conference schedule of all time. Like, that's possible. And that would make sense for the Texas Longhorns to make the NCAA tournament over another team not in the SEC, had a better strength of schedule in the non-conference play, and won more conference games in a not too shabby conference. It's fine. It's fine. That's last year. That's old news. It's old news, but it's not great. And just as a fan watching the game, the only thing you learn against a team like Mercyhurst or a team like Lehigh or a team like Mount St. Mary's, or, and there's a couple more coming up, Lafayette. The only thing you can learn is uh-oh. And West Virginia didn't have that today. If you listen to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I'm not a big recruiting guy. I don't follow it with a lot of vigor. These are high school players. I've never seen them play college basketball. They're just names. It's just like playing a video game. And these are actual human beings who have histories and lives. But from my perspective, it's just like a video game. It's just a name, where they're from. Don't know anything. Never watched them play. Don't know anything about them. I guess there could be a chance that West Virginia WVU recruits a West Virginia guy, and I've seen clips of them playing in the state basketball tournament, but that's it. It's limited. So I just start caring when they show up, right? And I read what you read about recruiting if you're a casual recruiting person, just like you are informed that West Virginia is going after guys, make offers, stuff like that. And I know that players get ranked by 24/7 and Rivals, and I'm sure there's other outlets like those two, but those are the two I know. And I'm more familiar with 24/7. And I see a name, and I see what they're ranked nationally, what they're ranked in their state, and how they're ranked at their position. Those are just numbers, and I can understand a lower number is better in recruiting. And I also know that when you get better ranked players, that typically translates into being successful when they get to college. And the examples I have, the 2010 Final Four team, three of those guys that were on that Final Four roster made up one of the best recruiting classes WVU's had since they keep track of it. And two recruits specifically, Devin Ebanks, Kevin Jones, at the time were the highest ranked recruits by 24/7 since they've been doing it. And so that translated into the only Final Four for WVU in my lifetime. So I can lean on that. And so all that to say, Ross Hodge, who hasn't been here a calendar year yet, he signed less than 2 weeks ago the highest 24/7 recruit in the program's history. Again, since 24/7's being around. Would Jerry West have a better 24/7 ranking than anybody that WVU has recruited since him ever? I would guess yes, because he's the NBA logo. So framing it, since this is a relatively new thing, these recruiting rankings. But Ross Hodge got a 5-star and the highest 24/7 recruit in the program's history. His name is Miles Sadler. He's a 5-star point guard. The star rankings, the highest you get is 5. So he's a 5 out of 5 player. And he's considered to be the 4th best point guard nationally in the class of 2026. As a comparison, Amir Jenkins, really good at basketball. He was the 12th best point guard in 24/7 in the 2025 class. And considered the highest, higher than Oscar Tshiebwe, higher than Devin Ebanks, higher than Kevin Jones. Name any guy you think of as a really good basketball recruit. The best is the guy that Ross Hodge just got, Miles Sadler. WVU announcement had Sadler as 6 feet tall. You go to 24/7, they have him listed as 5'10". He's quick. He averages, I believe, 2.5 steals, or he did last season at his high school or prep school. He's from Canada, played for the under-17 Canadian national team, and he is going to be the highest-ranked player in this class and the highest-ranked recruit for WVU. Again, we're going back almost 30 years. So, that's good. And he's not the only recruit that West Virginia has a signed letter of intent. Kingston Whitty, another point guard commit. 6'10 center, Alou Dioum, who is a teammate of Sadler's at their prep school in Arizona. So the recruiting class at the time of this recording is ranked the 17th best recruiting class, according to 24/7, which is, that's awesome for WVU, for anybody. 17th is really good. As a comparison, that puts you in the ballpark. It's under the 2008 class with KJ and Ebanks and Truck Bryant, but it's in the conversation with the 2013 class, who was headlined by Devin Williams and Elijah Macon, and the 2019 class with Deuce, Oscar Tshiebwe, who was a McDonald's All-American, and Jalen Bridges. And you hear those three recruiting classes, what they produced is success at WVU. Those recruiting classes produced a Final Four, multiple Sweet 16s, many NCAA tournament berths, multiple NBA players, guys who have played in NBA games. Now, one of those three classes had a little bit of bad luck, pandemic, couple of recruits did not finish their college careers at WVU, didn't really mesh with the coach. But overall, 5 stars is awesome. 17th in Division One, and that's going to change. And of course, you got to factor in transfer portal recruits. But overall, I think good high school recruiting translates to success, even in the transfer portal era. And Ross Hodge is off to a good start. Again, casual recruiting guy. Don't know a ton about him. Don't know a ton about any of those guys. They're names to me. But 5 stars is 5 stars. And 17th is 17th. And those are positive signs in Ross Hodge's, I guess, second recruiting class at WVU.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
The next game for the Mountaineers is Wednesday, 7 p.m., Hope Coliseum, ESPN+. And the opponent is the Coppin State Eagles out of Baltimore, Maryland. Coppin State is one of those, they are next to last in Division I. According to Ken Pomeroy's computer, they're going to come to Morgantown with a 2-8 record. They've got a win against a Division II opponent. And they have a Division I win, a road win, against Rider. Rider, the only decent stat for the Eagles in Ken Pomeroy's computer is that they shoot free throws average. Everything else, a lot of red. Not good. Turn the ball over a ton. Don't shoot the ball well. Not great at defense. Just very little redeeming in the stat category. And so West Virginia needs to follow the same formula as today's game, as against Lafayette, as against Lehigh. And it's, follow me, it's win by a lot, preferably over 20. And like today, 32 is great. Do not have any injuries. Finish the game without, oh no, he's out for however long. And then giving guys like Honor Huff and who else is playing a ton of minutes? I guess Jasper Floyd. Get these guys a break before we kick it into Big 12 play and against other non-conference opponents where you need them for a ton of the game. So win big, no injuries, no big minutes. Can West Virginia do that twice in a row? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Pocket Cast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 6 wins and they have 2 losses.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.